Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
I'm going to talk a little bit about redefining church, redefining how we see things, how we do things, how we listen to things. All these things wrapped in one. But first, what we're going to look at, because honestly, my life, I think the best way to look at the Bible and look at my life and examine it is to look at Jesus' life. Because, you know, he's kind of like the perfect dude. Sorry, not to be disrespectful. He's the perfect man. But if you turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, we're going to look at verse 21. That's where we're going to start. That's kind of our foundation of this. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Kind of like I said, he's kind of like the perfect example. The Bible tells us that we are to follow in his steps. So this morning, as we redefine some things in our life and church and all these different things, we're going to look at what Jesus did, because it's the perfect example. So now, if you would jump with me to Luke chapter 2, there'll just be a little bit of jumping around, hopefully not too much. There's some jumping around during worship. Now that's what I'm talking about. It's not good worship unless you're working a sweat. Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. It's the good stuff. I'll tell you what, you ever, you know, the Bible says Jesus or God inhabits the praises of his people. If you ever really want to get deep with God and feel his presence, make up your own song. I'll tell you what, I mean, you can mean these words from the bottom of your heart, but guess what? That's somebody else's song. That's what the name at the bottom of the right says. Somebody else wrote it. You know what? Make up your own song. It doesn't have to make sense or rhyme or even be a song. It could just be words to him. And I'll tell you what, he just comes in and it's go deeper than ever when it's from your own. Anyway, that's a side note. So Luke chapter 2, we're going to look at verse 41. Every year, Jesus' parents, I said that wrong, didn't I? It's not Jesus's, is it? You just say Jesus, don't you? I always get confused when there's the S and it's possessive. Doesn't matter. Anyway, I went to high school in Sparta. Don't judge. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was all in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. Okay, so I have this great fear that when I have a kid someday, I'm going to lose him. I feel like movies nowadays, the movies that they make, like, my generation, we're going to be fearful of losing our kids, and they're going to get, like, shipped off to Europe, and, like, we're going to have to go hunt them down with a special set of skills or something. But, you know what? It makes me feel better knowing that Jesus' parents lost him. The Savior of the... Where'd he go? I mean, come on, he's supposed to save all of us, and they lost him. This is just a side note. It just makes me feel a little bit better. Not only that, they lost him for, like, a day. It wasn't, like, 2 minutes later, where is he? It was a day, and then they didn't know where he was. I'm sorry. I just think that's hilarious and makes me feel pretty good. Like I won't be a terrible parent someday. Just saying. But this verse shows something. It shows that as a custom, they went to the temple, or kind of like church. They went there. They studied the word. They heard people preach. They did all this stuff. And later on, as you read on, they find Jesus back at the temple, and he's listening to the teachers, and he's hearing them speak, asking them questions, all that sort of stuff. What's interesting, and what we do is, Jesus went to church. So do we. It's important. It's what he did. And as you look over the whole New Testament and in a lot of different areas, Jesus studied Scripture. He quotes it countless times. He knows it all in his head. I mean, he's Jesus. He kind of knows all things, so it's a little bit like cheating, but whatever. He would have been the best Bible quizzer. But seriously, he quotes Scripture after Scripture in the New Testament. He went to church. It was as custom. That's what they did with their family. And we do the same thing. And I see nowadays as a church, we come to church, good deal. You know, we go on Sunday, maybe go on Wednesday, whatever, move on. But there's something there, something important that I feel like we miss that Jesus did not miss. As many times as he maybe have quoted Scripture or gone to the church, realize Jesus didn't just know things. He didn't just know the word. He didn't just go to church. It was more than that. He did things. Now, it sounds kind of funny, but there's a scripture verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, and it's in verse 1. It tells us, knowledge puffs up, love builds up. And you can know all the scripture. You can know all the words. You can go to church 7 days a week, whatever you want to do. But I'll tell you what, if you aren't doing something with what you learn, you're nothing. I'm a straight shooter, so some things are going to come out a little bit harsh. Bear with me, I'm young and learning. That's my excuse. Seriously, if you just come to church and just hear the word, hear the stories, do all this, and you go back to your life and you don't do anything with it, it's nothing. Faith without action is dead. Think about it. I mean, Jesus, how many miracles, how many times did he see a need and meet the need? Countless times. It's unreal. And so much nowadays do we just go to church and we hear testimonies. Oh, that's so cool. Somebody was healed at MYC, Minnesota Youth Convention. So many healings. They had like 4,000 kids in Rochester packing it out. My sister Sydney, who's here visiting, was on the worship team that was leading. So awesome. Really cool. But so many times we hear these stories or we see pictures on Instagram or on Facebook or somebody sends it to us or we read a book and we take all this in and it's nothing. When did we become satisfied with a picture? I think about it. When did we become satisfied with a status and just hearing the story? What about experiencing it for yourself? There's this song by... I should be quoting the Bible, but I'm quoting a song, of course. Rascal Flatts. Yeah, you can laugh. You can't describe the sea unless you've been there before. I don't care how many pictures you've seen. I don't care how many stories you've heard of being to the ocean or the sea and seeing it. Unless you've actually been there, you don't know what the wind feels like. The smell, the fresh air, the water over your feet. What you see out there. You have no idea. You can act like it, but you have no idea. The same way when you come to church and you hear stories of the Bible or you hear somebody share a cool testimony, it's all well and good. And you know what? Jesus did go to church and he knew the scripture. There's a place for that. I'm not saying don't read. I'm not saying don't go to church, but I'm saying it's more than that. You have to do something. It's what Jesus did. It was his life as the example for us. He calls us to follow him in his footsteps. He didn't just know it and go to church. He did things. He saw miracles. He saw miracles. When did we become satisfied with the pictures? So many times nowadays, we isolate ourselves, especially my generation and generations after me, before me. Which one is it? Either way, you guys, the young bloods, after, whatever, it doesn't matter now. The young bloods, the little fetuses running around in the blaze. Their generation's coming up. I would hate for them to just sit in their home and like, dude, I want to get some nature. So I'm going to go on Instagram and search the hashtag nature and look at pictures. I'm going to call my friend. Not even. I'll text my friend and have him text me a story about when they climbed a tree. This is where we're headed. It's funny, but it's where we're headed. Everything's virtual. Virtual hunting. What? What high do you get off that? Virtual everything. There's virtual chat rooms. You got this thing called the Oculus Rift. It's this goggle thing that you put on your face. Or just the Oculus, not the Oculus Rift. Is it? I don't know. You put it on your face and it's like you're submerged in the game. Everywhere you look and the screen moves. It's like you're just in it. It's crazy. It's cool. But it was bought by Facebook. What next? We're going to have chat rooms where we put on our goggles and that's how we see our friends? It goes beyond this. Doing something, not being satisfied with the pictures or the stories. Oh, a blind man saw? That's a cool story. How about you go somewhere and you pray for a blind man and see if he can see again? Go out and experience it for yourself, because there's nothing like experiencing it for yourself. There's people nowadays in the church that if you go up to them and you tell them, oh, this person at NYC got healed, they'll be like, what? That happens? You got to be kidding me. Where are we going? What are we doing? Because Jesus, he did things. He was a doer. There's this show that me and my friend used to watch. It was called The Buried Life. It was on Netflix. We watched it, and they have this book, and it was this group of guys that were all, they were going to college. They were going to college, living life, doing all this stuff. And then finally they said, you know what? Forget it. Go to college, by the way. This is not promoting not going to college, even though that's like my life. Go to college. But they were going, and they were like, you know what? Forget this. We don't want to do this. So they sat down one day, and they made a list of tons of things that they want to do before they die. Kind of like a bucket list, except they called it the buried life. And it blew up. People donated money. People did all this stuff. They bought a camper thing, and they just drove all around, just fulfilling their dreams. What they heard other people say, oh, this was a great time, so they went out and did it. All these different things. Pretty soon they got this TV show, and part of their TV show was for everything that they did on their list, they helped a stranger do something on theirs. Really cool. These guys are fearless. Hilarious. The dude was, it was ask out your celebrity crush. Now tell me how you're going to do that. That's insane. And his celebrity crush was Taylor Swift. Don't know why, but it was. And so what they do is they go to the CMT Awards, Country Music Television Awards. And they try to get in and pretend to be press. Now, not everything they do is legal. I'm not encouraging illegal behavior. But I'm telling you as an example. They did everything they could to get in. And finally, one of the guys gets in there, gets in the office, and gets press badges and gives it to his buddy. And his buddy walks all around the conference, can go everywhere he wants, the CMT Awards, and finally goes up to her and asks her out. I mean, he gets shot down, but it doesn't matter. He checked it off his list. You know how many times I've sat with my buddies and been like, oh, yeah, ask out that girl. That'd be sweet. No way. I can't do that, man. No, you do it. No, me? No, you do it. If I make this shot, you have to do it, okay? You know? Instead of talking about it, let's do it. Let's do it. We're so satisfied with the stories and the pictures and the testimonies. It goes beyond that. Knowledge puffs up, love builds up. I think of puffing up. There's a couple meanings to puffing up. Puffing up your chest. I'll tell you what, the more knowledge you soak up without love, your chest is going to puff up and you're going to sit in that pew and be like, well, I don't know if I agree with that. Oh, that doesn't quite line up to what I read. Oh, I don't know about that. And you're going to miss out. You're going to miss out. And you're going to be too busy sitting there in the pew on your butt that you're not going to go out there and do something. You're going to be too busy being critical. So you'll puff up your chest. I also think of puffing up as like cream puff. It's what I call, now don't take offense to this, I made this up when I was like 16, which I guess doesn't justify it. Spiritually obese. You're too busy sitting on your butt reading the scripture, not going and getting spiritual exercise. Pretty soon your arteries are going to clog and you're going to have a spiritual heart attack. Think about it. Love. For God so loved the world that he gave. Realize, gave, he gave something. What motivated him? For God so loved the world. Love was the motivator. That love builds up. That love comes in your life and will motivate you to do something. Will motivate you to go out and do something. Be spiritually active. Not be satisfied with just hearing a sermon, hearing a podcast, reading the word, praying. These are all good things and we need to do them. Don't get me wrong. But it's beyond that. You need to go do something. Because when that love motivates you and you go out and you see a need the way that Jesus did, he saw a need, he met a need because he loved. He didn't just see a need and say, well, I wish you the best. Like, how many times do we see a need and say, hey, I'll be praying for you? Biggest lie ever told in church. How many times? See a need, meet a need. Now, sometimes there's needs you just can't meet, you know? Sometimes there's not. That's when prayer comes in, when God comes in. But a lot of times we see a need, and we just go by. We don't do something. Realize the Bible tells us in John chapter 14, verse 12. Very truly I tell you, all who have faith in me will do the works I have been doing. Here's the kicker. And they will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. We tell stories about Jesus. We tell all the things he's done, all these miracles, all the things he's seen. Well, guess what? You can do them too, and you can do more. The Bible tells us right there. So what are we doing sitting in the pew? What are we doing sitting at home? What are we doing just sitting alone eating our lunch at work? In the cafeteria. Obnoxiously eating an apple. Caden. Sorry, I got a video of it or something. Anyway. Are we doing something? With the love as the motivator? You know what? I was all about this when I was in middle school and in high school. Random acts of kindness. We hear about them all the time. And like Christians, we're the king of them all. Well, not the king, because God's king. But you get what I'm saying? We love doing random acts of kindness because, hey, we're Christians. We like to do things for people. And it's so random. It's like, oh, the opportunity came up. Oh, I'll do it. Here's a game changer for you. How about intentional acts of love? You wake up every morning saying, today I'm going to do this because I love these people. Even if it's not somebody you actually know, somebody you actually hang out with. Someone who's wearing buckle jeans. Someone who's wearing Docs. Someone who's got a suit and tie on. Somebody who's driving a car. Somebody who has showered in the past week. Someone who doesn't have tattoos. Drives me nuts. Realize who's preaching to you. I got three. Intentional acts of love. It goes beyond what you see. Goes beyond. Jesus was a doer. I don't think that's a word, but it works. We are called to follow in his footsteps. Live like he lived. So, let's just sit back, relax. What are we doing? We gonna follow him? We gonna live like he lived? Realize in that verse in 1 Peter, it talks about he set an example for us, and through the suffering that he had. Realize his suffering wasn't just on the cross. His suffering was through daily life. Because guess what? He was tempted too. He went through temptation. He had to overcome those things. And I'll tell you what, abstaining from things sometimes is like suffering. Self-control, keeping from doing something. But guess what? Self-control is a two-way street. Controlling oneself not to, and controlling oneself to do something. Going beyond ourselves. Dying to yourself. Love as the motivator. You want to know, how do I get motivated to do something? Experience his love. Remember his love. That's what motivated him. It motivates us. Out of love we do something. Out of compassion. There was a professor I had in North Central that told me, compassion in this world is feeling bad for somebody. Jesus' compassion is feeling bad and doing something about it. Now, as a Christian, claiming to believe in God and proclaiming Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm pretty sure we should probably have the same compassion Jesus did. Not this world's compassion. This world, satisfied with a picture, satisfied with a story. We can't. Because I'll tell you what, there's other religions in this world, they're not satisfied with the story. Look at the news. They're not satisfied with the story. They're up off their feet, moving around, doing what they believe. And we just sitting back, and we're losing the war. And I ain't talking about physically. I'm talking about the spiritual one. Because we're not up on our feet doing something. We're just sitting back reading books. How about we be the one they write books about? Because so many people come up to me and I read this great book about this great man of God. Cool, dude, you should read it. And I'm like, no. First, because I don't read. I mean, I read the Bible. That's about the extent of my reading. I just can't do it. Sit down and there's so many words. Lack of pictures. Honestly, I can't even sit down and read my niece one of her kid books. I can get through half of it, and then I'm like, Libby, go play. Grab a toy. Throw it somewhere. Go push Will down the stairs. I don't know. No, I'm just kidding. I've never told her that yet. Be the one they write about. Realize this was God-inspired. But Jesus didn't literally write something. He was too busy doing. He was too busy seeing a need and meeting the need. He was too busy loving people, seeing someone in need. And that love, it burdened him so much that he had to do something. There was no other option. He didn't leave some written out note for his disciples. He talked to them. He taught them. Hands on. He showed them by doing, leading by example. In the church, you may not be a leader, but in this world, you're called to be a leader because you're set apart. So lead by example. Lead by the life you lead. The life you live. It should speak. It should speak. It should speak volumes. I remember hearing a story about a man playing on the Packers. Reggie White. The man in practice, he was a Christian. Some dude in practice gets his ankle busted. Just snapped. Reggie runs over there. Prays for him. The dude hops back up. Thanks, Reggie. Runs back and plays the next play. The life you live. What you do. He could have just sat there and said, oh man, what a bummer. God, please don't let that ever happen to me. Praying for himself instead of praying for somebody else. No. He went over and he prayed for him. And he was healed. And people knew him for that. They also knew him for how hard he hit. Be a doer. It goes way beyond just going to church. Realize you are the church. It's the people. This place is not the only place where healing and miraculous things happen. It's not the only place that you praise him. It's not the only place that you pray. It's not the only place that you hear his word. It's not the only place that you act nice to people. It's not the only place that you actually talk to somebody. It's not the only place that you put away your phone for a while. It's not the only place that you express how much you believe in him. Because realize this building is nothing special. We could go meet in a field. God's still going to show up because guess what? You're the church. You're the temple. The Holy Spirit is in you. Not this building. It's walls. It means nothing. Sure, it's pretty. Sure, it's great. But you know what? If they flattened it tomorrow, I wouldn't bat an eye. Sure, I didn't pay for it, but guess what? It's not like they flattened you. You're called to do something. You're called to lead. Leading with words doesn't really work. Just saying things doesn't always work. Usually it doesn't. You got to lead by doing. Actions. Intentional acts of love. Because there's nothing loving about random. It's just, oh, spur of the moment, okay. Love is, it's on your mind. It's in your heart. You're thinking about it all day long. You're obsessed. You can't get it off your mind. You can't sleep because you're thinking about it. You know it. Well, some of you, it's been a while. Some of you, it's maybe now, Isaac. When you were young and in love. Obsessing. Checking your phone every 2 minutes. It takes me back. Oh, am I going to see him today? Thinking about it constantly. What can I do for them? What can I do for them? Because guess what, bro? If some girl comes up to you and says, I love you, but then she's going macking on every other dude there is, Macking is another word for flirting. Flirting is another word for generating feelings that are false. Just for the high. It means nothing. But if she tells you she loves you and holds out for only you, only macks on you, expresses it through action, it means something. You believe it. The same way in worship, when you just say the words on the screen, hallelujah, hallelujah. Or maybe you demonstrate your faith through action by lifting your hands, by clapping, by singing even louder, even though you aren't on key. You ever heard me sing besides just now? I dare you, stand in front of me during worship for one song. You will be deaf. Ain't no joke. Lifting your hands, clapping, singing loud, dancing, jumping. Maybe it's just getting out of the pew, stepping into the aisle. Then next week, take a step forward. And maybe another one. Because it's not just for the people around you. It has nothing to do with them. It has everything to do with Him. The same reason when you're in the workplace and you're living your life every single day after day, it's not for the people around you. It's because you love Him and He's called you to do it. So do it. What's the question? Jesus, guess what? He was 10 times, 1,000 times, 1,000,000,000 times, infinity times better than us. And He didn't think He was more superior than us. Too many times as Christians, as soon as we accept Him into our life, we think we're going to be on some stage, some platform, some superior position than the world. Well, guess what? Joseph was in a prison. Daniel was in the lion's den. Jonah, belly of a whale. Noah was a laughingstock. Just because you go after God and do what He says doesn't mean you're going to be superior than anybody else. Doesn't mean you're also going to be up on a pedestal. You're going to have to get down and do it. On the grind. That verse, we follow in His steps, but there was suffering. There was suffering. I pray my life is just like this one dude. I don't know his name. He's some old school dude back in the old and medieval England days. I should probably know the date better, but I don't. I don't remember those things. Anyway, he was persecuted for his faith. He knew it. But there was one day where nobody said anything. Nobody threw a rock at him. Nobody said anything to him. And he's like, he gets down off his horse and he gets on his knees and he says, God, what am I doing wrong? Nobody's persecuting me today. Next thing you know, a rock comes over the fence and hits him on the head. And he's like, thank you. I pray my life is like that. Not that I want people to hate me, but that I'm so in love with God that it causes people to feel uncomfortable. Because it's good for people to feel uncomfortable for the right reason. Because guess what? Maybe this morning when I was up on stage encouraging you to worship, you start getting that uncomfortable feeling. When you get uncomfortable in God's presence, don't back up. It's good because guess what? It means you're outside your comfort zone, which means you're not in the same area you've been before and you're feeling pushed to go somewhere else. Deeper. Deeper. Don't shy away from that. If it's uncomfortable to do something for somebody, don't shy away from it. He's called you to do it. Just because you're like, well, it's the way I was made. I'm just a shy person. He was the King of Kings. He had every reason not to come down here on this sick earth. But He got over it. He didn't even need to get over it. It was no question. It was no hesitation. It was boom. Bethlehem. Get over yourself. Something we got to tell each other every day. The Bible says die to yourself. AKA, get over yourself. There was a speaker at NYC. He said, when you remember yourself, people die. But when you remember Jesus, people live. When you die to yourself, people live. When you quit thinking about yourself, thinking about what is this going to do for my image? If I stop in this rain and help that person change their tire, do you realize that this tie is going to be ruined? Do you realize these buckle chains? I'm not going to be able to wear them at the meeting on Tuesday. Do you realize I know them? And we got into an argument at that transgender meeting for the school district? I can't get out and help them. You're a joke. Guess what? Buy a new tie. Walmart, they're cheap. Buckle jeans, they're not cheap. But who cares? Are your jeans worth someone going to hell? Answer me that. Guess what? Right now you're saying, no way. Yeah, right. Well, when the opportunity comes, you let me know what your actions say. And I'm not just preaching and hollering and kicking you guys in the face. I'm kicking myself in the face. Because I've done this. I've shared that story with you. I lost a friend that I never reached out to because I wanted to stay in the warmth of my own car instead of walking a few blocks in the cold. In his shoes. Never shared the gospel. He's dead and gone now. I missed it. Because I was too worried about myself. I was remembering myself. Had I remembered Jesus, might have gone a little different. Do something. Do something. Is bigger than you and me, yet you and me have to be involved. It's a big task, but we can do it, even though we're small. I guess you could call it like a David and Goliath scenario. If you don't know what that is, read it. It'll be better than the Packer game. I hate football. Keep that one to myself. What are you going to do this week in your life? What is it going to amount to? What's going to be done? Parable of the talents. What are you going to do with what you've been given? And guess what? The Bible also says, to whom much has been given, much is required. So guess what? The more you're given in the sense of the more you're revealed by reading His Word and praying and the more that is revealed to you, you should be doing a lot. Because you have all this knowledge, all this wisdom. You have all the keys. It's like you're Sherlock and everybody else is Watson. You got such a big brain. Spiritual brain. Do something with it. My dad always told me growing up, there is nothing worse in this world. There's nothing worse than wasted talent. I'm here to tell you, there's nothing worse in this world than a Christian who doesn't do something. They always say when a friend is getting bullied, someone's getting bullied, the bullies are to blame just as much as the friends who don't speak up. This world is full of people getting bullied. And if you don't speak up, you're just as much to blame as the people bullying them. Do something. Do something. He's called you to follow in His steps. Be a doer. Love builds up. Let love be the motivator. And at first it's hard. You got to discipline yourself and you're like, I hate this, but I love you, God, so I'm going to do it. I've been there. Do something. I cannot say it enough because it's got to get through to you. That if you sit back and you're waiting for somebody else to do something, they're probably sitting back just like you. And guess what? Pretty soon, the entire world is not going to be Christian. This entire world is going to go to hell in a handbasket. They're not going to know the love of the Savior. Because you were too scared, or you were too selfish, or you were too whatever. It's bigger than us. But it involves us. Do something.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.